I'm Duncan McLeod, and this is the Tech Central podcast brought to you today by the folks at iOCO. I'm joined on the call today by Dom Ertl from the Training Room Online, or TTRO, one of iOCO's cloud customers. And I'm also joined once again by Richard Vester, Group Executive for EOH's cloud business. Richard, Dom, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Duncan.
Thank you, Duncan. Great to be with you, and I look forward to the chat.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. Dom, tell us a bit about TTRO, or the Training Room Online. What do you guys do?
So TTRO is a business specializing in creating blended and digital learning experiences. So what that means in simpler terms is that we digitize learning content across the spectrum of lifelong learning. So that's everything from early childhood development through to adult learning and the world of work. And then we also create the platforms that deliver those learning experiences to our customers. Sort of top all of that off with sort of meaningful, I hazard to say consulting services, but really solution crafting around how what we do could make a difference for our customers.
Okay, so take us through some of the courseware that you provide. I presume you develop courseware that you distribute. Is it right across the board, or do you have areas of speciality?
Absolutely. So it really varies. One of our recent projects was for an international donor agency creating a Mobi app for early childhood development, so giving teachers, parents, and the childcare professionals content on a daily basis to work with kids in an early sort of education spectrum, through to sort of next stage across the different phases of basic education, difficult concepts, grade 7 maths and science, to English literature content, and then all the way up to sort of vocational, the higher education, or even world of work. So, mm-hmm. They're really exciting stuff like compliance training for banks and insurers to how to operate a 5-axis CNC milling machine for, the national industrialization pillar of Saudi Arabia. So really varied in what we do. Yeah,
right across the board. I'm interested. I mean, a lot of parents at the moment are looking at homeschooling options because of the COVID-19 pandemic. Schools were, I think it was grades 7 and 12 were supposed to return this week, but I think it's been pushed out to next week now, and other grades will only return to school much later, possibly. Are you seeing increased demand from parents who are looking to homeschool their children and use online courseware, online learning materials? What are you seeing in that regard as a result of COVID-19?
Sure. I mean, the digital education journey has been one we've been quite close to over the last couple of years. In fact, as a business, we're the partner to the Department of Basic Education and have built the DBE Cloud. So that's the sort of platform that could deliver digital curriculum and content to the department schools. And I think everybody from, national education through to parents' schools has sort of caught themselves unprepared in this time because, while digital was always there as an enabler, the immediate priority was, learners in physical schooling. Mm. And so there's been a huge reaction and a sort of surge in demand for not necessarily content as much as it's been platforms to provide sort of web-based schooling or internet-based schooling in the form of web conferencing, Zoom, Google Classroom, or plugins to the platforms that we create. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Tell me how big TTRO is. I see on your website that you have offices in the Middle East and Asia as well, I think in Hong Kong.
Yep. So we're approximately 85 people, a concentration of that down in Cape Town. So the engine room based in South Africa. And then we have two offices in Saudi Arabia, one in the UAE based in Dubai, and then a small outpost in the UK as well. The view there is to sort of win contracts and work and sort of locally deliver that from a South African cost base. So providing high-quality digital learning services to global businesses, part of our strategy.
Now, one of the customers you have is the National School of Government, or NSG. I must admit, I hadn't heard of this before we chatted ahead of this podcast. This is a South African government initiative, is it?
That's correct.
Okay, tell me a bit about it. It's for training civil servants.
Yeah, exactly right. So they're responsible for putting out the curriculum or the training to different civil servants across the spectrum of all government agencies. And so we work with the learning specialists in that team, not necessarily on developing their curriculum and content. The focus of our relationship with NSG is to maintain, develop on an ongoing basis, the learning platform that facilitates all the classroom-based learning, delivers digital learning content, and enables their sort of learning strategy for civil servants in the country.
Excellent. So TTRO, the Training Room Online, has now embraced the cloud, as it were, and you have moved, I believe, wholesale into the Amazon Web Services cloud. Take us through that journey and why you decided to do it.
Sure. So I think, in terms of describing the business's activities, we see ourselves as professionals or experts in creating learning experiences, and that involves the content and the platform side. When we looked at it from an infrastructure and hosting perspective, we needed sort of a cloud-based service that could scale the way we needed, that provided, the simplicity of consumption rather than the complexity of trying to build that in a data center. And coupled with that, we weren't AWS experts, and so we looked for a partner that could help us on that journey and sort of take on that level of complexity and be the experts in that piece of the value chain as we are in ours. And that's where the relationship with IOKA has come aboard, and it has really served us very well over the years.
Right. Well, how significant is it for TTRO that AWS now has data center facilities in Cape Town?
I think it's something that previously wasn't a deal breaker, but it was certainly part of every discussion.
Right.
With the different governance and compliance rules we have around data privacy and the like, having AWS onshore now, I think, is one less hurdle for us in terms of bringing customers into that cloud journey. And I think it also just helps the psyche of customers with cloud adoption in general.
Yeah. Well, Richard, let me bring you in here. You're dealing with a lot of corporate clients in the South African market now that AWS has launched a data center or data centers in Cape Town. Has that accelerated discussions around moving to the cloud? Do you think companies are more open to the idea now of accelerating their digital transformation, accelerating their cloud journeys as a result of there being local data residency, for example?
Duncan, definitely has increased the amount of conversations that we're having with organizations. Interesting enough, we've been approached by a number of international organizations that want to specifically deploy their applications now in the Cape Town region from an AWS perspective, which has been very interesting. In the past, typically you wouldn't find that. Mm. So, just the scale of what AWS brings, I think, has created a lot more talking point, not just for South Africa, but also for internationals looking at the region in terms of their growth strategy, but very much so. We're getting a lot of calls, a lot of organizations wanting to unpack what it means for them. But obviously, this is it is a bit of a journey. It's not something that they can just jump into. We need to look at doing it properly, architect, and look at how their applications will run in AWS.
Dom, let me bring you back in. Maybe take us through in some detail how your business was doing this before the cloud. What did your IT architecture look like, and what has moving into the AWS environment allowed you to do that you perhaps weren't able to do before, or can do better now than you were able to do before? Maybe take us through and paint us a picture in some detail about what your journey into cloud is allowing you to do as a business.
Sure. Historically, we segment our customers. We've got smaller customers who certain workloads are fit for purpose. And then as we were taking on more sort of enterprise-based customers, we needed to adapt accordingly. In the past, we were using sort of dedicated hardware hosted at various local data centers, concentrated in one of the providers, who provides cost-effective, kind of appropriate solution for a certain kind of customer.
Right.
But when it came to, a more enterprise-level customer like NSG, especially given some of their scalability requirements, we really needed to look at the whole architecture a bit differently. And, you know, that's where having the flexibility of using different components or modules that are available within the AWS product set really gave us the opportunity to build highly resilient, highly scalable, data center or hosting architecture to support the learning platform. And so, you know, working with our tech team, we were able to build that as part of the solution, but also just take into account all those requirements which we knew about but couldn't do previously because either those services weren't available in sort of traditional hosted infrastructures, or if you wanted to adopt them, just horribly expensive in terms of, you know, buying that kit and licensing things like network load balancers, as an example.
Yeah.
You know, that would be a couple million rands worth of infrastructure purchase. You know, now we can consume it at the, relatively speaking, click of a button.
Yeah.
And build it into the solution.
On demand. What value do you see, Dom, in working through a local partner? I think some companies, some people think that that now that these global hyperscale providers are in South Africa, like Amazon Web Services, that you can just commission them directly and you know, you mentioned the click of a button, you can spin up services as you need through a web browser, basically. But third-party service providers like Ioka still play an important role in the IT services ecosystem and advising clients around cloud. Can you just maybe take us through why you work through a third-party service provider, specifically Ioka, and what value they bring to the table that you wouldn't get if you were to engage with Amazon directly?
Sure. Do our techies play with cloud services directly in certain dev places? Absolutely. I mean, we let them go wild in as far as what they want to build and do. I think that's part of their curiosity and building. But as a business, positioning a stable and enterprise-grade service, you know, we needed to make the choice of, you know, where do we focus our efforts and attention and where do we partner? And for us on the cloud hosting and data center side, or this tech side of it, partnering with Ioka was an important decision for us in that respect. And it sort of played out quite interestingly in a couple stories along the way. So, I mean, if I look at the level of engagement we got from some of the team within Ioka, you know, they weren't learning experts, but they went the extra mile of actually rebuilding parallel environments to get to understand the type of solution we were working with. So, you know, they were curious enough to understand the service we were delivering and understood that it wasn't just delivering cloud service to us, but it was actually about delivering a learning service to the customer. Which was great to have. So, you know, and then the depth of expertise. I mean, you know, while our guys might know, you know, 10 or 20% of what AWS has to offer, we just don't know all the corners and the boundaries of it. Mm. And so working with somebody that could give that depth of knowledge was really important for us as well.
So how does this allow you to be agile in what you do in developing course materials and getting them out to the market?
So, yeah, I mean, I guess it's one of the intrinsic benefits of cloud, isn't it? Now, I remember probably 4 months ago, a customer phoning us and saying, listen, we're about to launch a course in 2 to 3 days. We're not sure what the uptake's going to be, but it's relevant to 50,000 users. Will the system cope? And, you know, we were fortunate enough to, you know, have the confidence in the setup of our infrastructure that we had the elastic scale capability, and that whatever the bandwidth need was, or, you know, whatever the compute or storage need behind that was, that the system would be able to cope. And I mean, we saw a massive spike in activity when they did release it. And yeah, I mean, the feedback from that was just incredibly happy customer and able to cope quite nicely.
Richard, last thoughts from you. What do you see as the role of a company like Ioka as companies move to cloud computing, to the hyperscale environments?
I think our role is very much to have a very different conversation with organizations like, a good example is TTRO. So it's not about just going along and trying to provide infrastructure for a customer for them to go and run the application. It is going and understanding how the application talks to the different elements that an organization like AWS provide of their platforms, and it's almost more of the born in the cloud type world as opposed to coming from the traditional infrastructure space. So for us, it's quite exciting. We're getting to learn a lot more around the application side, like Dom was saying earlier on. But very much the conversation is understanding end-to-end the application, the different elements around the, you know, the landing zone, the security elements, those types of things, and how it fits together to, you know, to deliver a world-class solution for their customers. And that's really where I think things are going in the future.
So, Richard, just lastly, I believe iOCO has an offer for customers, potential customers of its cloud offerings. Tell us a bit about that.
Yes, definitely, Duncan. We've taken a bit of an initiative to allow organizations to learn a little bit more around AWS and some of the services and capabilities that we have from an iOCO perspective. So if the listeners want to go to ioco.tech/AWS-offer, that's ioco.tech/AWS-offer, they'll be able to get some nice things like free workshops around the DevOps application modernization, microservices, and some other great goodies that we have on the website.
Great. We'll definitely go check that out. That website again is ioco.tech/AWS-offer. Richard Vester is Group Executive for EOH's Cloud Business, and Dom Ertl is from the Training Room Online, or TTRO, I beg your pardon. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining me today.